But it's time now to wrap up the AFL Grand Final with a man who knows all about big days in September and a regular on this show with Jared Whateley. Luke Hodge is his name. Hodgie, thanks for your time.
Yeah, good morning, Kane. Speaking of big Grand Final week, how have you recovered? I kept watching. I saw from the daily updates and how you were able to push through after watching a few of the days, how sore you were, mate. Fantastic effort and for a great cause in my room as well.
Yeah, thanks, Hodgie. It was glad it's over. A relief to be finished. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, and I don't think I'd do it again. I'm glad I did it, but yeah, it was a relief to finish, mate. There were some moments there where I didn't think I was going to make it to the finish line, so I'm glad I did. You were at Grand Final Day, did a magnificent job, the coverage with Channel 7. It was a terrific event. Hodgie, probably until about halfway through the first quarter when I think most of us realised that it was all done.
Yeah, you're right. They're tough games to commentate in, considering I think everyone knew halfway through the second or first quarter, as you said, that Geelong have come to play. And look, when Geelong play like that, they're very hard to stop. You sort of sit back and go, how good were they? I think we had such a good, tight finals series. But then you look what they did to Brisbane. A lot of people said how disappointing Brisbane were. But I think you've got to give more credit to the Cats, how they dismantled Brisbane in the prelim, and then the same thing they did to Sydney. Both of those teams that they convincingly beat moved the ball so well throughout the season, but Geelong were just exceptional. And look, to send the champion off the way he did in Sale was just amazing finish.
If you were Sydney, I mean the ramifications can be significant when you lose a grand final like that. Certainly, spoken about the team that I played in when we got smashed and the impact that had. Adelaide had probably similar after 2017. The Western Bulldogs struggled after getting smashed last year. Would you review that game closely, like, and look at everything that you did in the lead up during the game, or is it one you'd swipe away considering it's the end of the season and come back and start a fresh day one of preseason?
Yeah, mate, there's no doubt the coaches would go through it a lot finer than what the players would, because look, Sydney have done so much this year. They've been so impressive in so many ways. So you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater when you come up with a result like that. Because, as we've sort of said, Geelong can dismantle teams. They've got such a mature senior list, and what they've been able to do with the blitz halves and the like, with the four different positions that he plays in one quarter, and the flexibility of what a senior team can do when they can find a way to beat a team. So look, they'll go through on certain areas which they're disappointed with, but I reckon their season review as a whole should be pretty positive. And look, they've got a list that if they keep pushing the way they have, they should be back up there in the coming years. It's an exciting list to watch. And yes, it was a disappointing day for them, but bigger things ahead for Sydney.
And the retirement of Joel Selwood, I got vivid memories of you two, like two of the fiercest competitors we've ever seen, getting up in each other's faces, and there was clearly a mutual respect, but you know, the aggression, the big games that you two played against each other, your reflections of Joel's career and what he's meant to Geelong in the game?
What he's meant to the game, I think, and what he means to the Geelong Football Club, you can sort of see it out there. It doesn't matter who you barrack for on Saturday when you saw him holding up the Premiership Cup. And I did a video. I was out in the ground, did a video, because I want to see the reaction when he got called up. And I actually couldn't hear the announcer through the video because the crowd was that loud. That was Sydney people cheering as well, which is tough to do after you just lost a grand final. But I think what he stands for, you look at Joel prior to a game, the biggest game of his career as captain, trying to be a premiership captain, and what he did for Levi Ablett just before, ran through the banner with him, and then post-game when he grabbed Sammy, brings him over the fence to bring in the excitement with his team. I think that sums the bloke up, that either side of crossing that white line, he's such a nice guy, but then can turn into such an animal, such a competitive beast. The blokes like that are who you love playing against, because you know that you're not going to get an easy kick, and he's not going to back down. So the way he finished off, I saw his family after the game, and you could sort of see the reaction of his partner and his mum when he kicked that goal. The teary emotions, you could sort of see that something was on the card. So no better way for a ripper like him to go out.
Yeah, some similarities between himself and yourself. When you retired, I guess the thought about what to do next, I mean, he looks like a coach to me, and he looks like, you know, footy is his home, and he'd be lost to the game if he did step out of it. How did you weigh up coaching, media, the combination of both, family, and also perhaps just giving yourself a bit of a break for a while. What do you think would be on the cards for Joel now?
Yeah, well, I guess my priority was family. We were due with our fourth kid as I was retiring just after the season. So jumping into the media was a pathway that I was always keen to sort of give my wife a bit of a chop out at home, considering she's done that much for us. So that was the decision that I went. I still do a little bit of part-time coaching because it's in your blood. And I think if you look at Sal, I can't see him walking away from football. I don't think I've seen a person who loves and is as passionate about football as what he is. So he's obviously got a big few months coming up, considering they're due with his first pup. So it's going to be a few changes around the Salwood house, but there's no doubt, no matter what decision he makes, he's a pretty calm, calculated person. It's going to be the right decision for him and his family.
Now, Hodgie, former teammate of yours, Jack Gunston, after 11 seasons, has decided he's going to leave as a free agent to join the Brisbane Lions. What did you make of this?
I know that there's a lot of very excited Brisbane Lions supporters up here, because I think they've seen what he's been able to do at Hawthorn, very close to Norm Smith in 2013, but also he had the back operation two seasons ago. But I think what he was able to do this year in, I guess, a Hawthorn side that were going through a transition phase, to get back on the field and to do what he did was exciting for him, but also the Lions people. He's obviously going to bring some experience up here, but he's going to help their forward line. They do have a relatively young forward line with Hipwood and Rayner and the like, so he's definitely going to help them with their craft and try and give them as much guidance as he possibly could. And I guess one other thing that sort of helps with Jack is a lot, you sort of see, we all look at Blitzarts and seeing how many different positions he can play. And I think that's what Jack has added to his game, which is going to help the Lions. We know how good he is as a full forward, but he made his name as a half forward, being able to play wing with his height and his running ability. But also, through times, he's been able to go back and float across half back and play that. So I think that will add a little bit to the Lions' flexibility as well.
What is it with you Hawthorn guys going up to Brisbane, perhaps for a bit of extra superannuation, Hodgie?
No, mate, no. It's a very nice place to live, Kane. I think we've come up for different reasons. I guess I'd retired and Fage sort of spoke to me in regards to a young team up there and they need a little bit of guidance. So I guess mine was about that coaching stuff that we spoke about earlier. I really enjoyed it. So to be able to play and develop that side of things was a highlight. And then as I retired, they were sort of a top four team and Grant Birchall was up here for still the development. And I guess Jack is now there. They've been top four for the last 4 years and they're probably adding Jack to try and take that next step. But I guess it's all about the relationships. And I know Grant, Jack and myself have had a good relationship with Fags over the years. And that's probably been the reason why we've been able to move up here and had confidence in the transition.
You mentioned Chris Fagan, obviously another extremely difficult week for the Hawthorn Footy Club, Alistair Clarkson and Chris himself. Feels like there's more information being leaked on a daily basis. I know you've spoken to Jared about it recently, but have you spoken to Chris and I guess your perspective on the last couple of days and the events that have come to light?
Yeah, I spoke to Jared last week, but I think it was straight after the article was released. I was the same as what everyone else has been the last week. It was hard to read. It was uncomfortable. It was hard to stomach it at some of the stuff that was written. But I think as everyone's sort of spoken, as the week unfolded, I think we're keen to hear the other side of the story, because obviously the allegations have come out in the article where everyone sort of read that and jumped on the this is a disgrace. But we've got three people there who've been in the AFL industry for a long period of time and we haven't heard from them because they haven't been able to. So I think that's where there's an investigation that's coming where it's gonna hear all sides of the story. And I think from that we can make a calm and calculated decision. But, I'm sort of the same as everyone else. That I know that a lot of people have been ringing up lately and they don't want people to be found guilty before the trial's been run. So I think I'm in the same boat as that. It's such a sensitive issue for all involved. And to read the reports and the leaks that are coming out, it's disappointing because of how sensitive it is for both the young Indigenous boys, their families, their partners, but also in Clarkson, Burton and Fagan, they're obviously going through a sensitive time as well. So I think it's very important that we need to sort of all sit back, take a breath, and let the investigation run its path, and hopefully we get a result and an outcome soon.
When you read, I guess that there seems to be new information and new leaks, as we've said, that the full report has now been leaked to the Herald Sun. Is there anything, everything you read, is it a shock to you? I guess is what I'm trying to ask. Is it all of a surprise to you to read this?
From what I knew, and I think what other people knew, is there was an external report or review that was going on, and then that was handed to Hawthorn, and then obviously it slipped out into the media. When that stuff was put in the paper and you sort of read it, I'd spoken to a lot of past teammates, Indigenous and non-Indigenous players, and we were shocked that the allegations were thrown out there. And a lot of it is, a lot of conversations I had in the football club are private, but some of the stuff that was raised, and knowing that the three guys, I was shocked at it. And so we packed up our family on the back of Chris Fagan, his reputation, our relationship. But I know that Birch and Gunners have done the same thing. So it's hard to comment on because it is so sensitive with both sides. I was very shocked when I did read that. But there's still a lot to play out, and I think we all need to sort of take a breath and the respect of both sides are. Both sides of this, we sort of let it play out in the right manner, let the investigation run its course, and then we'll hear the result once the results are in.
Hodgie, what's on for you for the next couple of months? Put the feet up and get away and have a break?
I've got four kids, Kane.
so that's a no?
There's no such thing. That's a no. We're up at Mooloola Bay at the moment, so I'm starting a business up here, a labour-hire business, OCC, with an old mate, Luke Livingston. So I've been in the office and having a lot of meetings in and around beach cricket, in and around changing nappies. So
what's the business?
It's a labour hire business, because obviously there's labour shortages all throughout Australia. So they've done a really good job in Melbourne, reached the WA, and we're bringing it up to Queensland with obviously the Olympics 10 years away. Getting something outside the footy circus, going just to sort of keep fresh in the off season. So between that, changing nappies and a bit of beach cricket, it's going to be a pretty busy next couple of months.
Hodgie, you've been an outstanding year for you, no doubt one of the emerging media stars that we have in this country, and we appreciate your contribution to Jared's show all year, and thanks for joining us again this morning.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Kane. Talk to you soon, mate.
Luke Hodge, fair bit to digest there. Jack Gunston is off from Hawthorn to Brisbane. His perspective on the unfolding situation out of Hawthorn with Chris Fagan, Alistair Clarkson, and also the Brisbane Lions, the thoughts on the grand final, Joel Selwood's performance and his reflections on that.